Morning again. We continue our series in Philippians. We'll be in Philippians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, just raise your hand and we've got Bibles for you. If you don't have one at home, please keep that Bible as our gift to you. If you get one of those Bibles, it's page 571. Make it easier for you. And so Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read just verses 8 and 9. Two short verses with a lot in it. Let me actually get to it myself. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. This is God's inerrant, which means it cannot err, his inerrant word. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. That completes our reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray right now that you would carry what happens right now, that me and everyone listening, that by your Holy Spirit, you may take over and accomplish what you want. Lord, you know everything that's going on in our thought lives, even if we're unaware of it. So I pray that during this time, you would allow this word to penetrate our hearts and accomplish good things for your glory alone, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I didn't say, if you don't have a pen, the outline is on page 7, and as well as the scripture. And so we've got pens as well. If you need one, raise your hand and we'll bring you a pen as well. So, all right, we need one right here. Sorry, they already left. Bring back the pens. All right. I have a question for you. Have you ever heard this expression? What happens on spring break stays on spring break. Have you heard that? Or the other version, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now, what do people mean when they say this? Is it that really, when they weren't really at the beach, they volunteered for Habitat for Humanity secretly and they don't want anyone to know? They weren't really gambling in Vegas. They were volunteering at a soup kitchen. No, that's not what they mean at all, right? They want to have secrets about what they were doing. They wanted to do bad things and no one to find out. Isn't that true? That's why people use that expression. So we're going to talk today about something that is completely secret. Like really secret, it's what's inside your head. I mean, kids, have you ever gotten in trouble for what you thought? Nope. Adults, have you gotten in trouble for what you thought about saying? Nope, that's why you didn't say it, because you didn't want to get in trouble. Right? And so, but there is someone who does know. There's someone who knows, and it's God. Right? It's, as Brandon said, that's when we pray. That's why we can pray in our heads, is because he hears what's going on inside of our heads. Well, the question is can it be sin? Is it just sin what we do, or is it also what we think? Jesus answered this very clearly on the Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew 5. This is a paraphrase, but he said this. He said, look, you get angry inside, and you're actually guilty of murder. Well, that's not very good. And then he says, hey, you've lusted in your minds. You've looked at women lustfully. You've actually already committed adultery. You're guilty of that. So he connected to the crimes in our head to the guilt as if we'd actually done it before him. That is a painful connection. We talked about a few months ago this little short pamphlet. It's on the info table. My Heart, God's Home. It's this idea that when someone becomes a Christian, Jesus comes inside their house and they slowly let him come through the different rooms. Okay, so you have a room that's your thought life. But I think some of you don't even, a lot of people, haven't even really, they don't realize that that room exists. They aren't aware of that, right? Because we're just constantly thinking. It's like a fish that doesn't know what water is, right? I've just always lived in water. I don't know what that is. We're always thinking, but it actually is. It's a room in your head. It's a room in our lives that Jesus wants to be a part of. There's two reasons that I think you should care about this passage. One we just talked about. We'll be held accountable. We'll be held accountable by God for what we think. The second is this. If you're a Christian, Jesus has moved in. And you will never be comfortable again in your own head with sinful thoughts. It's just now uncomfortable. You know this when you have someone with you that all of a sudden some things are uncomfortable. People do this to pastors sometimes. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, pastor, I shouldn't say that. Right? Like, But now that God's inside of you, you'll never be comfortable again with sinful thoughts. And we all have them. So this two reasons this sermon, this passage should matter to you, because those are two realities. And our thoughts just, our mind is constantly, from the moment we wake up, even now, you're either with me or you're not. You're thinking something. Or you're thinking about what I'm talking about. You're thinking about something else. Our mind never turns off. It's just constantly thinking. I did want to give a caveat at the beginning. I'm going to press a little bit harder in this sermon than I usually do. If this is your first time here, please come back. I don't always press this hard, but it's because I love you. You go to doctors, and they press hard. I mean, not literally, sometimes they do press hard, but they'll tell you information that is uncomfortable. They'll say there's something going on inside your body that you need to know about. You have diabetes. You have cancer, right? Something you can't see. And they speak very plainly. I'm going to do that this morning for the same reason. Something's going on inside of you, and not all of you are aware of it. And so you need to know. But let me tell you at the beginning, I would like to share the gospel with you. Here's how it goes. You're a sinner, and Jesus died for your sins. There it is. That's the gospel. All right. So as we talk about more sin, you're going to probably by the end realize I have more sin than I realized before we started. So just remember, Jesus died for him. He's already prepaid for him. There's nothing that I'm going to keep on you that actually has to stay on you. Just give it right to Jesus. Remember, Jesus, does it make sense? That's the gospel. So you need that up front. Here we go. 3 points. There it's on page 7. God's vision for your thought life. God's vision for your thought life. Secondly, the current state of your thought life. And then third, the fruit of a God-honoring thought life. So we'll start with that first one. God's vision for your thought life. Look at verse 8 again. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is... He likes that word, whatever. So he keeps going. He's going to list 8 things. Now, there's 2 ways to understand this. The first is... All right, so look with me. Here's a thought. All right, here's the thought. And I'm going to have 8 criteria to see if this thought is a good thought. Is it true? Is it honorable? So you follow, right? So it's 8 questions. When you look at a job posting, it says the requirements for the job. You don't get to cherry pick which ones you want. They're saying, no, you need to have all of these requirements. You can do that with your thoughts. 8 questions you ask one thought. Okay, that's one way. The other way is like 8 different thoughts. Here's a true thought. Here's an honorable thought. Make sense? Okay, so which is it? Is it 1 or 2? Well, both are true. Here's 2 clues, I think, that helps us understand it. All right, kids, you need your fingers to count. All right, I'm going to read verse 8, or you can look at it there. Count how many times he says whatever. And then also how many any's, A-N-Y, any's. All right, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. All right, so how many whatevers? Show me your hands. 6, yep. All right, and then there are 2 anys. Yep, you got the anys. All right, so 8 total. All right, so why is he over and over? In English, you don't have to do that, do you? You say if there's anything... Da, 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 right? You don't have to put whatever over and over. I think that's one clue. He's actually saying different types of thoughts. Whatever is true, whatever is noble and so forth, or honorable. The other clue is with the last 2 words of 8. They're both plural. He doesn't say, think on this thing. He says, these things. So for my teachers in the room, when you have plural words, that probably means you're talking about more than one thing, right? Okay, so I think he's actually talking about 8 different types of thoughts. You're like, why is he laboring over this? Why does this even matter? Because you are having thousands of thoughts every day. And so it's helpful that you get 8 new categories of thoughts that you can fill your head with. All right, I'm about to date myself. When I was a kid, there's a really popular movie called Indiana Jones. All right, so in one of the Indiana Jones movies, there's this little golden idol, and he wants it. And so he's got a bag of sand. And so he looks at it. And he, real quick, he goes like this. All right, so he switches them out. It actually doesn't end well, but it was a good idea. So that's the way your thoughts are. Kids, you've experienced this. Have you ever laid in bed at night and you're trying not to think about something scary? And the harder you try not to think about it, what happens? You think about it, right? So your thoughts are like that. You have to, like that Indiana Jones, you need to replace one thought for another. So you can't just not think about anything. something's going to be going on in there. And so you need to replace one thought for another. So that's what's happening. That's part of God's vision for your thought life, is he's giving you a lot of positive things. There's nothing, there's no don'ts in this, is there? It's all just do. Think on this. There's, it doesn't say, if you fill your mind with this stuff, there won't be room for anything else. So kids, practical application. You're laying in your bed, trying not to think. So think of your favorite Bible verse. Do you have a Bible verse you have memorized? If you don't, ask your parents and say, hey, could you help me learn a Bible verse? We should at least have one. How about a Bible story? Bible story, you know. Just the David and Goliath, whatever it is. Or even a movie you like. Right? Just if, and adults, we know this too, right? If you're trying not to be angry about something, if you just keep focusing on that, you're just going to get angrier. So think about something else. There you go. Something practical to take with from this. So constantly we're filling our minds with something. All right. So the question, though, is, can you really control your thoughts? Can you control your thoughts? It's actually the presupposition of verse 8. That was a big word, I know. Presupposition, kids. Presupposition means the assumed reality. All right. If I say, go find your mom, the presupposition, the assumed reality is you have a mom to go find. Right? And so when God says, hey, think about these things, the presupposition or the assumed reality is you actually have control over what you think about. Did you know that? You actually have control over what you think about. That's the first step. I mean, you can't change something if you don't realize you can control it. Well, with a caveat, with God's help. The first time you try this, kids, you're going to feel like it's impossible. My kids have told me this. But I can't change what I'm thinking about. That's all that comes in my head. Right? You're going to feel, adults feel this way too. So if you want to run a marathon, how do you do it? Or you shake your head no, but the other, if you want to, that you build endurance, right? If you want to bench press 200, you slowly build up to it. And so, kids, now is the time to start this. You want to begin to grow muscles in controlling what you think about. Because can't the adults agree with me? It's hard later. Right? Even if you start now, it's still going to be hard. And so adults, start working on that. It is really a muscle, just like any other, that you build strength by with God's help to be able to choose what we think about, that we're not at the mercy of our thoughts. It feels like it sometimes, but we're not. So what is God's vision for your thought life? There it is in God in verse 8. To think his thoughts. This is what God thinks about. He thinks true things, honorable things, just things, pure things, and so forth. It's because he loves us. This is the way you're made to think. Adam and Eve, this is the way they thought. Before the fall, before they sinned, their mind was just full of good thoughts. And they were loving life. You are not happier because of your current thought life. That what God desires for you, you would actually be happier inside your own head. That is God's vision for your thought life. So that's his vision. Where are we now? Where are we now? That's our current, or that's our second point. The current state of your thought life. Brace yourself. It's about to get ugly. All right. So we're thinking about thinking. What if, like, you took a pad of paper and for 10 minutes you just wrote down every thought you had? But how many thoughts do you think you have in 10 minutes? There's a lot of them. Like every thought. I mean, there's some that you're like, I'm not writing that down. I mean, it's true. We all have thoughts that we do not want to admit. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of these and look at them. And I'll give you some scenarios and kind of contrast it. As we do that, I want you to do something. If you have a pen, in the verse on page 7, circle a couple of these. A couple of these are probably going to stand out and you're like, oh yeah, I really struggle with that. That's really, all of us struggle. So just so you know, you're in good company. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what's common to man. All right, so we're all fellow strugglers, me included. I'll share a little bit more in a minute. We're all fellow strugglers. Okay, whatever is true, your roommate or spouse left their wet towel on the floor. Again, how you feeling? So you say to yourself, they always do this. They think I'm their servant. They know this drives me crazy, and they did it on purpose. Is that a true thought? So then you start talking to yourself. We talked about this recently. David does this. If you didn't realize that first song we sang, you were actually talking to yourself. You were telling your soul to arise over and over again. Right? This is very biblical. Tell yourself how to think. So you say to yourself, no, they probably didn't do it on purpose. They were running late this morning. And they don't do it all the time, but when they do it, it drives me crazy. Right? That you can talk to yourself and talk you out of your nonsense. Right? We think things that just are not true. And it makes it worse. It's already, there is a wet towel on the floor. That is a fact. Right? But in our head, we make that situation even worse. Speak true things to yourself. Secondly there, we're going through these eight. Think about whatever is honorable. Your boss is an arrogant, egotistical, angry, harsh man. So I have a friend who actually has a boss like this. And so he shared with me one time. He said, God's convicted me that I'm standing there looking at my boss and I'm thinking about punching him in the face. And then, so you can think to yourself, is that really an honor? Punch him in the face. That's not really honorable. Right? Say, Lord, you treat people honorably who treat you terribly. Way worse than I'm being treated by this boss. Lord, help me respond honorably like you did. Right? That's an honorable thought. Next, think about whatever is just, whatever is correct. It could be translated righteous. You know what? You think to yourself, I cannot declare this income. The IRS would never know. It's tax season, a little closer to home. They never know. What do they care? Is that a just and righteous thought? No. You say to yourself, man, who cares if the IRS finds out? God knows everything. I want to honor God. That is a just and righteous thought. See, some of our thoughts are not just and righteous. If you aren't uncomfortable yet, we have the next one. Think about whatever is pure. Wow, she's pretty. I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to go where many men's minds go. But you know where that goes. And so I want to speak to every man in the room and young men. Soon, you will realize that women are beautiful. And you will have this sinful flesh that wants to look at them. And so Scripture says, think whatever is pure. Men, what kind of thoughts do you have about women? Are they pure? This is a battle for every man. And it got mighty quiet in here. First, I mean, be able to think to yourself, who cares if she's pretty? She's not my wife. My wife is really pretty. That dress you wore last week, that was really pretty. The necklace. Right, you're thinking about something that's pure, right? So there's some, that's not my wife, and so I'm not going to think about that. That'd be impure, and so I'll think about something I can think about. Some of you are single, and you're like, well, that did not help a bit, right? Think this. Say, God, I hope you have a beautiful wife for me someday. Lord, I look forward to the day that I can actually have someone pretty to look at, and it's not sinful. Lord, help me stay pure until that day. That is a pure thought you can think to yourself. A battle for all of us. Think about whatever's lovely. So this is similar to that. It's not ugly. It's not repulsive. It's not unsightly. It's lovely. Do you know the Rocky Mountains? They're lovely. They're beautiful. A sunset, Isle of Palms, it is really lovely. It is beautiful. Right? God has given us an unbelievably stunning world. Think on those things. Right? That as you really have to fill your mind with something. And so think on things that are beautiful and lovely. Think about, if you're married, about your wife. That is, there you go, there's something lovely. And God has given us all these beautiful things. Remember in the Garden of Eden? He said, all these trees, just don't touch that one. Right? And so ever since that day, where do we run? We want to run to the place that we aren't supposed to be. We'll come back to that in a minute. All right, think about whatever is commendable. Commendable or admirable. What does that mean? Well, it's not shameful. It's not detestable. It's commendable. If others heard your thoughts, would they commend you? So it means, right? You'd be commended for the thought you're having. Do you ever have thoughts that are closer to shameful, detestable? I personally have to admit, yes. Some of my thoughts are shameful and detestable. And I think if you're honest, all of you would have to agree. Not all of your thoughts are commendable. If you wrote them all down, you'd be very embarrassed by some of them, and I too. What would a commendable thought look like? Well, one would be that, okay, I know I really want to get credit for this. I did something good and I want to tell everyone else, whether it's on Facebook or whether I just slip it into a conversation. But you know what? I did that for God. I'm not going to tell anybody. That's a commendable thought, isn't it? To say I'm not going to try to get credit for this. See, the more you fill your mind with good thoughts, there won't be room for the rest. Any excellence, moral goodness, virtue. Why do we crave that which is morally evil? Why do you crave that? Why do I crave that? Well, it's back to that Adam and Eve thing, right? That ever since then, we have this flesh in us. Do you know that there's actually two, you know, a little joking thing about here's the devil and here's the angel. There's some truth to it. It's not a devil and an angel. It's actually you have a sinful flesh. And if you're a Christian, then the Holy Spirit came inside. So now you have this big conflict the rest of your life. Your flesh that wants to do that which is evil. That's why we crave all these things. You would not have these desires if you didn't have that flesh. But now you have the Holy Spirit who desires something else. So things that are excellent. See, your flesh, it desires like rotting garbage. It just loves the taste of that. The Spirit, it likes filet mignon. It likes the taste of that. And so there's this constant struggle. You actually have a taste. You would not sin if you didn't have a taste for it. Right? You look at the garbage in the dumpster, you have no taste for it. Right? But we have a taste for sin. That's the only reason we go there. If there's anything worthy of praise, if people heard our thoughts, would they applaud? Right? If you heard all my thoughts right now, would you start applauding? Saying, those are all good thoughts. What about with you? We talked about why do we desire that which is morally evil. This is a huge issue in our entertainment. So why do we watch what we watch? And how do you think after you watch what you watch? You watch a movie, how are you feeling afterwards? What are you thinking about? It has an impact. Right? The Bible doesn't say, watch these movies and don't watch these movies. But it does give us principles. This is one of the verses that gives us some principles for what kind of entertainment we consume. Here's why. Because what we consume impacts how we think. That's one of the connections I hope you walk away with. What you consume, garbage in, garbage out. Right? You are what you eat, for that expression. This is true of this. And so, if by the end, and kids, this also includes music and YouTube videos and video games. Right? Why do you enjoy doing violent acts against other people in a video game? Because you desire that. Right? We have a desire to do evil. And so we can do it on a video game, what we'd never do. You never think of doing it. So what kind of thoughts are you having after that? That's the key. So you think, some of you when you took your job, didn't you have like training videos? Like there's safety videos you watch and there's other things you watch. Webinars, right, for your job. They're training you for something. Football players, don't you watch reels of how other games? Right, you're learning. You're sharpening your game. What is your entertainment training you for? You thought about that? What is your entertainment? What are the video games that you're playing? What are they training you for? I warned you at the beginning, this is going to get personal. But we have to make these connections. Because what we consume, and this also is true of friends. Right? What happens if someone gossips a long time? How are you feeling after that? Don't you feel dirty like you need a shower? Right? The company we keep impacts what we do. Company keep impacts what we do. Well, there's something better. Let me give you a better option. It's actually in verse 9. Rather than putting garbage in, look at verse 9. It says, well, you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things. Well, who wrote this? Paul. Paul wrote this. So if we are to listen to what we learn from him, receive from him, what do we receive from him? Letters, right? So the word of God is what you need to feed your mind with. Right? How are you going to have all these thoughts? What ingredients are you going to stick in, right, when you're baking? So you bake, you got to stick in good ingredients if you want a good outcome. If all you're sticking in your mind is garbage, are you surprised of what comes out? Makes sense, right? This is why it is so critical to read your Bibles. I mean, think. This is a meal, right? I prepared a meal for you this morning. I hope it's healthy and nutritious. If you don't eat again till next Sunday, this is not going to go well. If you wait by Wednesday or Thursday, that garbage can is going to look very attractive. You're like, I'm really hungry. That's looking pretty tasty. You need to eat spiritually every day. That's why it's one of the reasons you need to read your Bible, even just a few verses, because that's filet mignon. You're putting something in. You will not, that garbage can will not look attractive. Does the logic of that illustration make sense? That if you do not eat, that's one of the reasons you need to eat over and over again. So this is what he's saying. If you're going to practice these things, what you've learned, received, and heard, we've received his word. There's a lie that I don't want you to believe. It's the lie that I would never actually do the things I think. You could be listening to me today and say, yeah, but I would never do that. I would never punch my boss in the face. I would never actually do what I'm thinking about with other women. I'd never do what I'm thinking about with my siblings when I get angry at them. Today's thoughts are tomorrow's actions. Today's thoughts. Now, it might not be like tomorrow, like 24 hours. It might be next year or in 5 years. The reason I say that to you is that please make that connection. So there's three connections I want you to make today. The first is what you take in is largely going to impact what you think about, right? Whether it's your entertainment, with the people you spend time with, or the Word of God, okay? That's going to impact your thinking. Your thinking is going to largely determine your actions. The key is to cut this off at your thoughts, right? If today's thoughts are tomorrow's actions, how do we fix the problem? Deal with today's thoughts so they don't become tomorrow's actions. I almost guarantee you, every man that commits adultery has thought it in his head 100 times. Every sibling who punches his sibling has thought it 100 times before he does it. Every man who hits his wife has thought it 100 times. You have to take your thoughts seriously or you're going to end up doing them. Do not just ignore this. Why do I say this? Because I care about you. God cares about you. It is sin here and is even more grievous here when it gets to your actions. We want to be a church that it is safe to bring things into the light, because it is dangerous to just leave this garbage in your head and never deal with it. So I want to lead by example. Last Wednesday, I was in a terrible mood. I was angry. At dinner, I was not myself. And so I said, I'm going to go for a walk. It was a nice night. If you remember, it was about 65 degrees. I went for a walk. I came back. I wasn't much better, so I went for a run. And I laugh now. It was miserable. Like, I was a mess inside. My thoughts were not godly. I was not happy. And so I went and I wrestled with the Lord for 2 miles. I was talking to myself, trying to talk myself out of my nonsense. I used actually a sermon. I've gotten a ton of use out of the sermon from a few weeks ago on 4:4, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. 5 ways. If you missed it, I highly encourage it because I keep using it. And it's helping me. 5 ways that you can rejoice in any situation. It's online. It's on the website. But I went through those and forced myself. I didn't want to, but I knew I had to get out of my nonsense. So that's me. Here is your pastor. Last Wednesday, if you saw me, hopefully you'd see me after my run. I finally came to my senses. My thoughts were very different. You have to do battle in your head. It will not fix itself. Yeah, you can ignore it. No one else can see it. Or we say to our kids sometimes, I know what you're thinking. Well, that's because your body language gives it away. It's really, really important to deal with what's going on inside your head. Now, I don't want you to be crushed by all this. Please keep applying the gospel. All that we just said, Jesus has already forgiven you of. But I do want you to take it seriously. Some of you are taking it seriously. Don't be discouraged. Rather, be empowered to actually, God wants to help you with it. God wants to help you with it. If this is all new for you, I hope it does scare you. Scare you into paying attention and beginning to deal with it. It really does matter. It really does impact the rest of your life. Last and very, very briefly, the fruit of a God-honoring thought life is there at the end of verse 9. It says, the God of peace. Remember last week, the peace that transcends all understanding? God brings peace inside your head. It's not all turmoil. There it is. That's the fruit, is peace. There's this guy, Brother Lawrence, 17th century, wrote this little work called The Practice of the Presence of God. He had a very ordinary life. He did dishes and cooked in the monastery, wherever he was. And but he realized, like, I can talk to God like all day long. I can just have this running dialogue in my head. And he says, it's so sweet. I have this fellowship. I mean, you guys know what it's like to have someone with you. Misery always loves company, right? And so to realize that you have Jesus with you, that's the fruit of this. Now, if you're thinking of garbage, you really aren't going to want to talk to God about that, right? And so invite God in to that room in your life and begin to dialogue with him through your day. And that's what I had to do Wednesday night. It took a lot of running to get to, but just begin to dialogue with the Lord. He's there. He's there all day long. He's hearing all of it. He's hearing every thought we have. And he wants to be with us and walk with us through it. The other practical application was from last week. What are you supposed to do? Not be anxious, or supposed to pray? Pray about this. If you're feeling convicted, and I hope you are, I am. I have, as I've written this sermon, that take it to the Lord. He already knows. Ask for his help. Ask for his help. The Lord wants to be Lord of your thought life. God wants to rule there. He wants to be in charge of it. Because you know what? Where the Lord rules, it's a happy place. You'll enjoy being in your head a whole lot more if you let God take over. Now, it's a slow process, but a process never finishes that doesn't begin. Process never finishes that doesn't begin. Let us begin it. Let us right now. I'm going to pray in a second. Please join me. Let's pray together and ask God, God, help us. Have mercy on us sinners. Let's pray. Lord, please have mercy on us sinners. Lord, I am, and you knew you were there Wednesday night. None of them were. Lord, you're with them. You know what their week looked like. You know what their thought life looks like. I pray that you would give them insight, that they would just be aware of all that's going on in their head, and that you would begin to transform it. Lord, for their joy. Lord, that they may be happier inside their head and not miserable. Father, that's only possible with you. And if there is anyone here who realizes that they probably don't even have Jesus living inside of them, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they turn to you and invite you to come and move inside and begin to take over, that you would pay the price for not only their actions, but also all of their thoughts. Lord, I can't even imagine how many thoughts that you've had to pay for me and how many that are to come. But thank you, Lord. I pray that we may rejoice rather than being crushed. We may rejoice that Jesus died for more than we realized. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.